Welcome to The Backlog, a podcast hosted by Adaptivate. I'm Katie Cords, Head of Branded Content. In today's episode, one of our partners in Australia, Steve Walton, sits down in conversation with David Gumley, our growth partner. In this insightful discussion, we hear firsthand on how businesses can future-proof themselves for 2022. Enjoy the show.
So hello, my name's David Gumley. I'm the growth partner here at Adaptivate, and my role has a dual focus on deepening existing client relationships, introducing new clients, and acting as the conduit between our clients and service lines, with the primary goal of building, maintaining, and growing client relationships across Adaptivate. And I'm very, very excited to be joined today by Steve Walton, who has recently been promoted to partner operating out of our Sydney office. Steve, welcome. Congratulations on your appointment. And could you tell us a little bit about your background and your previous role here at Adaptivate?
Certainly, and thank you, David. I'm super excited to be able to talk about my background and what we're doing here at Adaptivate. My background comes from a bit of diversity. I came from the building materials industry, where sort of I was involved in numbers. It was originally a technical sales job. And from there, went through a range of roles before leaving to run my own business, which was an industrial processing plant. And it was great to do that. It took a bit of a social impact focus, where we brought people into work for us who found it difficult to hold jobs elsewhere. So very fulfilling period of my life. And then from there, went into telco and worked for telcos for over 14 years. Again, finding myself in numbers and data. Across that time, ended up doing three key things. Learn how to deliver and manage complex programs. Certainly working at MBN as the platform manager for the data and analytics teams across the enterprise. Rapidly changing programs as legislation and need dictated, as well as complex problems to solve. So really interesting space there. The way I did it was really through working with people, and it was managing teams in order to rally around the problem, rally around what we needed to do. And that was really stemming from experience I had at the previous telco, where I piloted some agile ways of working, where we did some initial programs that joined finance and IT together to find more rapid ways of delivering and clearer ways of articulating the minimum need. From our first piece of work, where we identified after months of requirements analysis, exactly what the customer needed in 2 or 3 days using an agile process, being far more pragmatic. And from there came to Adaptivate. So very excited to be here. Thank you, David.
Thanks, Steve. A very diverse background indeed, with some incredible experiences in navigating some very large and complex client challenges by the sounds of things. Sort of moving into the role of partner at any consulting firm, is a big move. With a shift in focus on the big picture and sort of long term strategy, how to bring in more work and the right kind of work, attracting the best consulting talent and growing that intellectual capital. So I'm putting you on the spot a little bit here, Steve. But what are your visions in your role as partner here at Adaptivate now?
Yeah, it is always good to be put on the spot. I see that my role is helping businesses, organizations increase their ability to respond. And we use the word agile a lot, but when we're talking about it, we're talking about agility. We're talking about the ability to sense what's happening and take action. And by this, I mean three things. First, to be clear and intentional around the way we're articulating strategy and cascading that through the organization. How are we articulating what it is we need to be focusing on? The reason we do that, number two, is so that people can understand the priorities, so that they can align to work on the right things at the right time. Working on the right thing at the wrong time is just as bad as working at the wrong thing at the right time, if there is such a thing. And then thirdly, you know, to work through working as one organization, helping organizations team effectively. By this, I mean, you know, letting people understand how they can best collaborate with their colleagues, how they can reflect and learn, you know, really adopt a test and learn type mindset, understanding other things we're doing, working in the market. Are we really adding value to our customers? And how to radiate out transparency of their progress. So really what I'm here to do is help organizations cascade their strategy to get things done, align people on doing things aligned to that strategy, and helping teams know how to work effectively to deliver it.
Thanks, Steve. One thing in my role that, you know, I'm constantly challenging myself with is thinking about what are the key themes and topics, you know, that our clients, both existing and potential, you know, new clients, are facing, and what are their challenges, and to use the old adage of, you know, what keeps them awake at night. It's becoming more and more difficult as over the last few years, you know, we've been operating in an environment of concurrent events, you know, whether it be pandemic, adverse weather threats, impact on supply chain, people mobility issues, you know, with border closures, etc. You know, the list goes on and on and on. But I'm keen to hear from you. You know, what are some of the, I guess, what are some of the challenges that you have seen or that you are hearing from your clients currently?
Obviously, the elephant in the room is COVID. You know, the need of organizations to rapidly reprioritize their work. Organizations, particularly large ones, are behemoths. They gain momentum over time, and to change direction requires a lot of effort if they're not structured to be agile, have agility. And so what we saw was some organizations that had both long-term and short-term planning, able to reflect the change of what they were doing in the short term, still keeping an eye on their long-term objectives. Other organizations that didn't have that reflective check-in and those shorter cadences found it harder to adapt. Part of it is really the organizations that understood what value they were trying to deliver were more able to shed lower priority items and focus on a smaller number of things. So I see that as being an ongoing theme over the next few years. Organizations have seen the benefit in knowing what are the top three things we're trying to do. Yes, we're trying to do 10 and we want to get to all of them, but which ones are real priorities? So prioritization is really, I think, the theme for this year.
Yeah, thanks. You mentioned, you know, obviously the pandemic and COVID, and we've seen how COVID-19 has influenced, I guess, every niche and significantly increased competition among businesses, you know, across all industries. And as a result, business strategies were reevaluated, you know, over the last couple of years to find new revenue generation opportunities. And the rapid transformation brought prosperity to agile companies, while overthinking, conservative leaders, et cetera, were perhaps left behind. And we know that adopting an agile approach and keeping an eye on the market and competitors can help business leaders grow and succeed in the future. But how, in your role, Steve, do you advise your clients to start thinking about the agile approach needed to best navigate the ever-changing environment and the competition that's out there?
I love that question. I do often describe agile as really being the greatest hits of management practices over the last 40 or 50 years. So I'd love to say we had some magic formula that was a panacea for all problems and we could come in and give them a one-stop shop. What we don't really do is do that. What we do is look at the things that are working for them, the things that enable them to understand what's happening, the things that enable them to know what's working well and seeing benefit, and know where they need to see benefit and they're not. Using an objective and key result type approach, I'm seeing as being a far more focused way for organizations to adapt. So we're being quite intentional in changing the language around what outcomes, what objectives are we trying to get to. It's often hard to articulate strategy. It's far simpler to say what we're here for. I'm a big fan of the what, who, where, how, and why. If we know what we're trying to achieve, why we're trying to achieve it, we can then start to organize how we're going to achieve it. And typically it's going to be around how can we adjust our timing so that we're measuring progress more frequently.
Yeah, it makes sense, Steve. Thank you. Here at Adaptivate, you know, you and I, we partner with our clients to embed new ways of working that are essentially underpinned by cultural change in order to deliver sustained success. Yeah. Now, it feels like, you know, having gone through the last couple of years, it feels like we're entering into a sort of new era of employee engagement, where employees are turning towards their leaders to connect, recognizing and supporting them through the pandemic. And it feels like now more than ever, employees should feel connected to their companies, to their company's overall purpose, their mission, values, and clearly understand, I guess, the impact of their contributions on the growth and recovery, of their organizations. As employee engagement directly impacts, every aspect of business growth, this is the one challenge that leaders, in my opinion, should definitely watch out for. And I was curious to know, how do you, or how would you advise and take leaders on that journey that focuses on creating an employee engagement strategy that is both innovative, human, and agile, and that keeps up with the changing times?
I'd advise leaders to think about their employees as people, just as their customers are people. And you mentioned wanting to associate with brand, with the right sort of organization. Customers do that. If an organization had a policy that consumers found confronting, maybe it's destroying some environmental factor, people might not want to be associated. Customers themselves and leaders within those, businesses themselves and even leaders within that develop similar reputations. So if we think about our employees as people, we want them to want to be associated with the company, want them to want to be associated with doing that work for that company. So it's about, let's start with being an organization that people will be proud to be part of. The question is, how do we do that? And then it comes down to things like, are we offering sustainable work practices? Planning is key to sustainability. We know that there are some things that are always going to be unplanned. However, we can allocate capacity for unplanned events. We can't plan those events, but we can say we know we're going to have time for them. So being pragmatic about there's always something that's going to come up helps build that sustainability in. Where I see teams and other groups that do that, people are a little bit more relaxed, and that allows more reflection. That reflection provides learning. It enables more innovation. So you end up with people who are more deeply able to engage with their work. They're able to have a voice in delivering value. And most people get up in the morning when they go to work and they want to be delivering value. So I say it's about creating an environment that people want to work in, for an organization they want to work in, creating a sense of purpose. And this is back to that cascading the strategy down to the team. What is it we're trying to achieve? And it's also establishing a why. Why am I doing this piece of work? How does it fit in? And that allows me to do it well. I know how to do it in order to achieve the outcome we're trying to achieve, back to these outcomes, and how to integrate it into the future state. I know where we're going. I have an idea of the strategy. So inform people and care for people.
That's great, Steve. Thank you. It feels like we're certainly operating in some challenging yet exciting times with great opportunities to learn, you know, innovate and adapt in order to set up organizations, teams, and individuals to be best equipped with the capability and tools in, you know, in which to navigate some of these challenges and problems. Steve, is there anything else before we sort of wrap up today? Is there anything else that you know you wanted to sort of discuss or put on people's radars to give thought to in 2022?
Yeah, I think there's a message out there, I guess, to leaders. How do you want your organization to be operating in the next 10 years? If you don't put thought into how you interact with each other and how you cascade information and purpose down to the teams, if you don't do that intentionally, it's not going to work. That would be, I guess, my headline to them. And for people working in teams, you know, find ways to align on how you're going to work, particularly in this era of remote working. I think it's an era of being clear about your expectations. So reach agreements on how to collaborate, and I think we'll all get through.
That's great. Thanks, Steve. Listen, thanks very much for your time today. Thoroughly enjoyed our discussion and some of the topics that we've covered. Congratulations again on your appointment as partner. Very excited to be working with you in 2022. And if you'd like to hear more about Adaptivate and how we can potentially support your people, your team, your organization, get in touch with Steve or myself or the rest of the team at Adaptivate through the details below. Many thanks.
Thanks, David.